Will you join me in prayer? Holy God, we are on our own wilderness journey, and we ask for you to rain down your word upon us. Help it to fall fresh on our ears so that our souls may be sustained for the journey that is ahead. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. The Israelites have come through the most difficult ordeal, or so they thought. They were quite certain that they were going to perish either at the hand of the Egyptian army or by being drowned in the Red Sea. But then, miracle of miracles, God separated the sea. They went through on the other side. Last we talked about how much they celebrated what God had done. We sang, "A mighty fortress is our God," and everybody was feeling good, and Miriam is leading them all with the tambourine, and they're dancing. And here we are 1 week later, and what are they doing? Complaining. "I'm hungry. Are we there yet?" I mean, it's just over and over and over again. Now, this is not to diminish their complaint. I mean, they're in the desert. They have been separated from their source of sustenance. Now, the food that they got in Egypt, of course, came at a price, which was their enslavement. But now they're free, and they realize, well, there's a price to freedom, too, that you have to start relying on God and not allow yourself to be oppressed by those who had enslaved you. And this is a difficult transition for them. They realize that they're on their own, but they have to be able to draw their strength from God. And they're not ready to do this. And so they start the blame game. And who are they mostly blaming here? Aaron and Moses, right? The leader of them, the one who brought them through all of this, they're the ones that get the complaints. "Why did you bring us out here? You should have just left us die in Egypt." No thanks. No nothing for all that they had done. There they are, and the people are just complaining, complaining, complaining. So Moses takes the complaint to God. "Okay, you're the one that sent me here. You're the one that gave me this job to bring these people out. And look what they're doing. You need to do something about this." Now, a model of prayer for us, okay? If Moses can go to God and say, "Look, I did my part. You need to get to work." We can pray that kind of prayer too. That's okay to pray, you know? A lot of us think, oh, we have to be in some humble supplication. "Oh, dear God, no, please help." But Moses isn't like that, right? Moses is saying, "Look, I've done everything I can. I've done everything you've told me to do, not without some complaining myself, but I'm doing my part, so get to work, God." This is really interesting. It's sort of like, you know, when your child comes to you and wants something, they don't come to you and say, "Oh, dear mother, oh, father who I love most beloved, could you please let me have the keys to the car?" It's not like that, is it? It's, "Mom, can I have the keys to the car?" Or, "Mom, I'm hungry." "Mom, mother, dearest, wonderful mother, could you please go to the refrigerator and fix me a dinner?" It's not like that, okay? So we can be like this with God. You can say to God what your needs are. You don't have to couch it in this kind of fancy language all the time. It's okay to talk to God like a parent. God can take that, okay? The other thing is that once God hears this complaint, God has a sense of humor, okay? Because God's looking at this and God says, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send," he's telling Moses, "I'm going to send to you bread from heaven, okay? And when you get up in the morning, you are going to see this bread that has come down. The dew's going to lift and there's going to be the bread, okay?" So the Israelites, they get up in the morning, "Oh, I'm their tummy's rumbling, and they look around, and they're like, they see all of this white, flaky stuff all over the ground. And they say, "What is it?" And God says, "Yes." What is it? Yes. Because manna means, what is it? That's the joke. What is it? Yes. Well, who's on first, right? You're like, it's a joke. So you don't get this unless you know the Hebrew language, that God has a sense of humor here. So in the same way that they're complaining, and he's kind of throwing it back to them saying, look, I'm going to take care of you. Lighten up a little bit. I would not have brought you all this way to let you die of hunger in the wilderness. Have a little faith. Let up on your leaders. I got this, says God. I got this, okay? So when we look at the circumstances of our lives, when we are in the midst of these difficult and trying times, not to diminish the problems that we experience, because as we've just talked about at the beginning of the service, there are a lot of us that are in very difficult wilderness places right now. But we have to remember that God's sustenance for us is always just enough for the day, just for that one day. That manna that comes is just enough for them to feed themselves and their family for one day. You can't stockpile it. You can't put it into big barns. You can't put it in your stock portfolio. It's for one day at a time. That's one of the reasons that phrase that you hear in some of the Alcoholics Anonymous, one day at a time, that's what it takes. That's how God accompanies us. We're not supposed to fret about what tomorrow brings. We are to trust that if God brought you through everything else, accompanied you with the pillar of cloud and fire, that God is going to take you the rest of the way. Now, then they start complaining. Later on, you'll see, they start complaining about the manna itself, because this is all they have to eat. It's the same bread. This is all we get, quails and we get bread. Is this it? You know, can we have a little variety here? My seminary friends and I, when we were studying this text, we were recalling, any of you remember the movie Forrest Gump? Remember Forrest Gump? And when Forrest Gump is talking to his friend who's on the shrimp boat, and he's telling him about all the things that you can do with shrimp. And we thought, well, there must be lots of things that you can do with manna. You got your fried manna, your baked manna, your broiled manna, your sliced manna, your sauteed manna, manna scampi, mashed manna, manna chips, manicotti, get it? Twice baked manna, stir fry manna, and manna gumbo, and that's about it. It's hard when you're looking at the sustenance that God gives you. It's sometimes it's like, okay, is that all I get? Is that all there is? And they start to complain again. And sometimes you can see people are like that, even like in our church services and that sort of thing. I hear a lot of times from the kids, it's the same thing. Every week it's the same order of things. We do the same thing over and over again. I'm bored. Can't we do something else? And we do try to spice it up a little bit. We try to make a little manna gumbo every now and then, right? But here's the thing. When you're in these really trying times, and you have this ritual that you know by heart, that you don't have to think about, that your body knows what to do. You know when you stand up, you know when to sit down, you know the order of the service is built into what we are and the actions that we take. When I was, and I was experiencing this, after I shared about John's story and we're thinking about everything that's going on in Europe and the Middle East, and it rattles our souls. I don't know about you, but this week rattled my soul. And I felt like, God, where are you in the midst of all this? And then I was listening to the prelude, and I stood up, and I do what I always do every week. There's a comfort in knowing, I think about it, but I do it by heart. I literally do it by heart. This is the manna. This church service is the manna for our wilderness journey. It's not fancy. It's not something that you get in a really gorgeous restaurant. It's meat and potatoes. That's what it is. But you know what? It's enough. And it's just what we need. And when we come up for communion and we receive just this little piece of bread, you think to yourself, is that all I get? It's like manna that they found on the ground in the wilderness. This is your manna. And this is all you need. Jesus Christ is our bread from heaven. This is what sustains us. This is what gives us strength for the journey. And this is what empowers us to be able to say, you know what? I've got enough now. Now I'm going to help those who are also in the wilderness. So when we ask for donations for food for the hungry, when we ask you to contribute to a box for Jen, for the Sunshine Box, when we ask to just give your offering to the church, that's your manna that you offer in the name of God. I mean, now Jen's not going to be like this, but Jen could receive that box and look at God and say, that's all I get. My husband is, you know, he's in this condition, and this is what you send me. But you know that's not how Jen's going to react, is she? No. She's going to get that box, and she's going to be in tears knowing how much she is cared for and loved. And she's going to experience God's love through very ordinary things, crackers and tissues and a gift card. The ordinary things are what's going to sustain her. That's what it means to be a believer in God. God takes the ordinary things and does extraordinary miracles with them. So I encourage you, keep coming back each week. Get your manna and give your manna to others. This is God's love. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, given for you and for us all. Amen.